No one.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Gators Online Show. I am Keith Niebuhr. That is Zach Albaverde. We've got a lot to talk about again this weekend with the focus on recruiting because it is recruiting season in the Florida Gators. Zach, they are red hot on the recruiting trail. So we're going to bring in our colleague, Blake Alderman, to give us a lowdown on what's new in Florida football recruiting. He'll talk about the recent commitments, and then he's going to give us a little preview for Friday Night Lights and the Grill in the Ville. And then we're going to get into some hoops. Man, Zach, it's always hoop season now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you win a national title and people are talking about you year-round. So we've got some Todd Golden stuff. We've got you got to interview some of the new transfers, which was really cool to see. And they look like they're fitting in early. But before we really launch into the meat of the show, Zach, we got to do an ad read. So let's get to that right now.
Absolutely. I'm going to give a shout-out, as we do at the start of each and every show, to the Big Game Football Factory, the producers of that football that you see right there. The Gators will be playing with it throughout the 2025 season, and you can get your hands on it if you head over to biggameusa.com. Use the code GatorsOnline, and you'll get 10% off your entire order and free shipping for a limited time. The Gators designed this ball with Big Game USA to ensure they're comfortable with it, so it's truly one of a kind. Start your collection of Florida's official game balls today at biggameusa.com/Gators. All right.
All right, Zach. So let's just go back. We'll keep it fairly recent, but let's go back a little bit before we jump in with Blake. Mid-May, Florida had one commitment in the 2026 class, coming off of a strong finish last season. So you're thinking, hey, they're going to start off on fire. They've got the momentum now.
Sure.
But it didn't really work that way. It's still a challenge to get kids anywhere, really. And Florida takes its time. We know that. They're very selective. They do things at their own pace. But again, one commitment in mid-May. Today, as we record this, I believe it's June 20th, guys. Florida has 13 commitments, is number 12 in the On3 recruiting rankings, and six of those commitments have come in the last week. So Florida is on what our good buddy who's going to join us now, Blake Alderman, calls a heater. They are on a heater on the recruiting trail. Again, the number 12 class in the country. And of the 13 overall commitments, Zach, seven of them are four stars. So it's a class that now has both quality and quantity. And so we wanted to bring Blake on. We got him.
Yeah, we do got Mr. Alderman for the OG recruiting fans that have been following it. They know that tag.
All right, so Blake, before we jump into who just recently committed, what do you think of this heater that Florida's on? Impressive, expected, both? What would you say?
I think it's both. I think last year was a little bit of an outlier, that 25 cycle, because there was that dark cloud that was hanging over the program. Will Billy Napier be there after this season? What's Florida going to do? They've come off these two back-to-back losing seasons, et cetera, et cetera. We didn't really see the June or July heater, the Billy Napier summer heater. We didn't see that last year. That came in November and December and parts of October, but he's usually – what we've seen with Florida, they usually hit that summer rush of commitments. And we're seeing that right now. I think that it's impressive always whenever you get this many commitments to fall in a short period of time, like what we've seen. I also think the balance of the class is starting. There's clearly some areas where they still need to address, but I think overall, when you look at what they have in the fold now, there's good balance that's in this class so far.
For sure.
And there's still some targets left on the board.
So there we go. So, Blake, you know, again, six commitments in the last week, and it really the ball, I guess, started to get rolling. Let me point out, of the six commitments, four of them are four stars. But last Friday, Carson Baker, the four-star running back from Fairburn, Georgia, Langston Hughes, committed to Florida, one of the better players in the metro Atlanta area, which has been very good to Florida through the years, one of the better players in the Peach State, which has been very good to Florida through the years. And at his school, Florida just signed T.J. Dice, the four-star offensive lineman, who I believe they flipped from Auburn in the previous recruiting cycle. So they've got some real juice up in that area. Carson Baker, I've heard a lot of good things about him. What are your impressions on what kind of player and how he would fit into the system, Blake?
Well, I think whenever you have a really good running back, you have a guy that has track speed, someone that's got a little bit of meat on their bones, that type of running back style, that skill set that he has will fit in any type of offense. But I think one of the more interesting things from talking with him is that after his official visit, he said that a lot of the run concepts that Florida uses, those tosses and the inside zones and just some of the runs that we've seen have been sort of Florida's bread and butter in their offense. That's similar, if not just about the same, as what Carson Baker's run at his high school. So there's comfortableness, there's familiarity with what they do on offense. And that's a guy that almost tallied up, I think, just under or just around 1,300 yards last season as a junior rushing for Langston Hughes. So you like seeing that type of productivity from someone that is running a similar style of offense as Florida. You hope that that translates to the next level. And I think Jabbar Jalouk, we've seen him. He's, you know, he doesn't miss, man. He's good for a running back or two each cycle. I think he has a little bit more, I guess, flexibility this year to where he can be kind of choosy with some guys. We saw earlier before Baker's official visit where it was like, man, I don't even know if Florida's going to take a running back just because there's not a lot of targets on the board. He was being selective, identified Baker. That official visit sort of kickstarted everything, and here we are. And I think that's a guy that fits very well in what Florida wants to do.
You know, going into Carson Baker's official visit in mid-May, you know, Florida really wasn't thought to be much of a contender, just maybe just as just a visit. And he's just checking him out. A lot of people thought Ohio State. There was some South Carolina chatter. That visit really got Florida rolling, like you said, Blake. And I talked to a Power Four assistant coach the other day who had scouted Carson Baker. And this is what he told me. He said, I love his size. He's 6'1". He's 190. He thinks he's going to be playing at 210 pounds when he's at Florida. So he loves that ability. He says he's absolutely a fast running back. Loves that. The critiques, and this is, look, nobody's perfect at 17, 18 years old. He thought, look, he's got to become a better, tougher inside runner, just more tougher in general and a little bit better vision. But he thought those things are things that can be taught, whereas the speed and the body may not be able to be taught. So he really liked the piece of clay with which Jabbar Jalouk is going to have to work with. And he thinks that if he can, you know, learn those other things, get a little tougher, become a better inside runner, improve his vision, he thought Florida potentially had something special in Carson Baker. Blake, over the weekend then, Florida landed a couple big commitments on Saturday, I believe. Four-star receiver Marquez Daniel out of Tuskegee, Alabama. By the way, they beat out Auburn. Auburn's only 20 minutes from his hometown. Big win. Jerralyn McCoy, a four-star defensive end out of Tupelo, Mississippi. Another big win, previously committed to LSU and, in fact, was going to visit Texas and scratch that visit. So you just beat Auburn for Marquez Daniel, four-star receiver, and you beat Texas, LSU, and the Mississippi schools. Never easy to do for a Mississippi kid. For four-star defensive end Jerralyn McCoy, what did you think of those two pickups?
I think whenever you look at what Florida wants on offense at wide receiver, I think Marquez Daniel is one that fits exactly what they want. I mean, he's a guy that is 6'5", somewhere around there, if not just under. That's big body. He's someone that can move. I think that he's, from what I've heard of him in his game just over the last, I don't know what year that he's been offered by Florida, is that his route tree only has a couple branches, right? It's usually him going long. He's great with those 50-50 type of contested catches, and 6'5", like that's pretty much what you want there. But a guy that can run at that size, we've seen it over and over again. If you see a wide receiver that's in that 6'4", 6'5", or whatever range, but can also move and work the field, Billy Napier and Billy Gonzalez are probably going to be after that guy. And that's what Marquez Daniel is. I think that kind of going into the spring, Florida was, they liked him a lot. He was a target that they really liked, but I think they wanted to sort of get that renewed sort of check in spring ball. They got that. They really liked him even more, and they started to push. And that official visit, we had some chatter that, you know, there was a chance that this guy could commit on his official visit, and he did. He committed in front of, I think, everyone on that official visit this past weekend at breakfast, got up, and they sort of introduced themselves, say a couple things about him, and, you know, committed to Florida then. So we even had another visitor that was on campus last weekend, a four-star athlete, wide receiver, Davian Gross. He was there, and I remember interviewing him after his official visit, and it was sort of like, man, what was that like to see Marquez Daniel commit? He said, like, man, it almost sort of made me feel like I got that feeling in my stomach. You see the coaching staff jump up and embrace him. They're all excited. So Florida was clearly excited to get this guy in the fold. And with four-star defensive lineman Jerralyn McCoy, I think that he's someone that you should consider maybe an F guy, which is in that edge room. It's one of those positions that has some flexibility in their defense. It's sort of like a juiced up five technique defensive end. And
this is a Tyreek Staff's position.
Correct. Yes. Very, very similar to that, even though Jarelan McCoy is like a 6'6 and some change type of guy. He's a little bit taller and maybe a little bit more lean, not sort of short and stocky like Tyreek Sapp. But that flexibility of being able to move between that end position of the 3-4 technique type of defensive lineman to sliding outside as a defensive end. So I think that was sort of the big sell for him, is that he can play all over the defensive line in that position, have that flexibility. Florida's clearly losing Sapp, like you said, Zach. They're losing a Jack guy. George Gums. So there's going to be some turnover in that edge room. And this was a guy that they really liked. The size is there. The length is there. I think that it's sort of interesting to see. It will be interesting, I guess, rather, seeing how he develops. Is he going to fill out more? Is he going to turn into a true interior type of guy? Is he going to stay leaned up and have that wiggle to play that F position in the edge? Could he lean up even more and play some stand-up? I think he's one of those guys, how Keith said, like a big ball of clay that could be molded. And it's sort of how you mold that piece is, I think, will be interesting, because I think that this is a guy that could potentially play up to 2 to 3 spots on the defense, depending on how his body moves. So a guy that I think Florida was really excited for. They really targeted him. And I think it's impressive considering that Florida got that Texas visit off, got him back on campus and ended this before any other schools could really try to sneak in there and get another visit out of him.
No doubt. And then, Blake, Florida kept it rolling into the week. They land a pair of offensive linemen on Monday. And then we first reported Gators Online, shout out to Corey Bender, the Gators had two defensive backs on campus. One of those guys end up flipping to Florida. How big was it for the Gators to get CJ from Nebraska as well as those two offensive linemen?
I think in offensive linemen, Florida wanted five. They're losing five, so they want to replace it with five. And they had two heading into Monday. You get three-star offensive lineman Tyler Chuckum. He's a guy that is somewhere around 6'6", maybe a little under 6'6", somewhere like 290, 285, somewhere in there. He's long. He's agile. He's someone that's projected to play tackle for Florida. So you can never have enough tackles that are athletic and that can move and have the length. And this is a guy that in spring, I think, somewhere around April, May, he started to see his stock rise. Florida offered, I want to say it was like near the end of May when they offered. And that official visit got set up very quickly. Billy Napier, when I was speaking with Tyler heading into his official visit last week, and he said that Napier was on a call with Tyler and his parents and mentioned, you know, how athletic he is, how he moves, how big he is for them of a priority at tackle. And, you know, said that was one of the most underrated guys that he had on the board this year. So that's high praise. And Florida quickly moved there. I think it came down to Florida and Ole Miss. He visited both of those schools. He's also visited Cincinnati in there. Don't really hear much about the Bearcats in this recruitment. So anytime you can get a tackle that you like, if you've got the traits and all those things and all those check out, if you like them enough, you take them. You can never have enough tackles, and not everyone's going to get the 5-star types, the high 4-star types on offensive tackle. So if you find a guy that you like at tackle and you see the projection, you absolutely need to make a move. And that's what happened here. 3-star offensive lineman Jabari Lucas out of Belgrade, Glade Central down there. He's the cousin of former Florida running back Kelvin Taylor and Fred Taylor too. So family ties there for Florida. Florida's been the leader for that guy since I think like mid-April when he took an unofficial visit. Never really backed off those claims. Florida got that guy in the fold, and he's someone that I think projects more as like a guard right tackle guy, which is what we've seen with Florida use like a Bryce Lovett, someone that can have that flexibility. So again, needed offensive lineman to stock up in there, and this was a guy that they liked, another guy that checked out a lot of boxes when they saw him in the spring. So having that position flexibility is something that's big with Florida staff, and that's what Jabari Lucas has, and here he is. He's in the fold. And then who was that? TJ Brona, 4-star cornerback, defensive back there out of the Winter Garden, Windermere area. He plays for Windermere. And speed, 10.24 was his 100-meter dash at the Florida Relays there in Gainesville that they run earlier in the spring. He's a 2-time back-to-back state champion in the 100-meter dash. So speed, I think 10.33 or something is sort of like
– Say that again, Blake. Can you repeat that?
Which
two
one?
Two-time what?
Two-time 100-meter dash state winner.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah,
not bad. So that's a guy that's got speed. I don't know that he's really like what you think of corners at Florida, where you see those 6'3", 6'2", like long type of guys, but he's a little bit more on the shorter side. He's not overly long, but that speed, I think you could probably even throw him in some nickel in some situations. Sure. There just with the speed and being able to have those short bursts and cover space. So he was committed to Nebraska. He took that unofficial visit to Florida on Tuesday, backed off that commitment to Nebraska on Tuesday night, and was committed to Florida by Wednesday. So big flip for Florida. I'm still counting that as a flip. If that's 24 hours or under after someone no,
that's a flip.
We're counting that as a flip. So that's a guy that Florida prioritized, and it was encouraging to see them continue this momentum, but also get a guy that they really liked into the class and here in the end of June.
And then the other question that I got for you, Blake, Florida's they've surged up the rankings now. They're number 12, like Keith mentioned, 13 commits, 11 this month, though. 11 this yeah. month, 6 in the last week. Of all those pledges, which 2 or 3 would you say have been the biggest or most impressive gets to this point?
I think for me, let me look at the class real quick just so I can make sure that I give you a good one. I think Chancellor Campbell, I know that saying a 3-star type of guy is someone that people are going to be like, oh, boo this guy. But, 6'8", athletic, and has a lot of upside. I think this is a guy that is potentially like a left tackle for Florida just with that length and movement and flexibility. I think that's a big-time get for Florida. And I think impressive. I think Jarelyn McCoy is also one. I mentioned a lot of things about him earlier, but you get a guy that, Texas was wanting and trying to get on campus, and you're able to not only get that visit axed, but you get that guy to come back to campus and do an unofficial visit, commit on campus. And he was also someone I think this past Monday that was actually there to camp with Florida staff. So was able to work out with the coaching staff. So those were some of the impressive guys in the class that I would say that jump out to me. And then there's some that probably need to do a little bit more of a deep dive and see, what they've got, what they're made up of, and maybe some more information still to look into. But those are two that just kind of jump out when scanning the commitment list.
All right. Again, we're joined by Blake Alderman of Gators Online, our colleague who covers recruiting so well with Corey Bender. And make sure you like and subscribe down below. Leave a comment. And also check out Blake's great work at Gators Online. We're not done with him yet, though. Blake, I've got a few more things I want to ask you about. Javari Lucas, this 3-star offensive lineman that Florida just got a commitment from Glade Central down in the muck. Again, an area that's been great to the Gators. Riddell Anthony, Fred Taylor. Wasn't there a great linebacker?
They love him on the Gators Online message board, I tell you what.
Yeah, I mean – so, interesting thing about him, I believe he just turned 17 years old. So, he will only be 17, or he may only be 17 if he's going to be an early enrollee when he gets to Florida. So, he's a young guy. So, Florida beat out West Virginia and USF, and he doesn't have a very high ranking. And that, I think, is largely to do with the fact that he very well could be going into his junior year, not senior year. So, he's a young guy. Charles Power, director of scouting for On3, said, keep that in mind. That matters. He's almost a year behind a lot of these guys age wise. And so that's a big time period to improve. So they like his upside at On3. And one other thing, Blake, in this era, when we talk about how much, my big beef, and I've told you guys this before, people either talk too much about NIL, they say everything's NIL, or they act like there is no NIL, that it's still, that's still just this something you can't talk about. And the reality is it's in between, but Marquez Daniel, Blake, obviously going to get a good, probably get a good NIL deal from Florida. 4-star receiver. You beat out Auburn. He's from Tuskegee, Alabama. But relationships still matter. And this is a classic example of that. His mother went to high school with a guy who's on Florida staff, Chad Lucas. Chad Lucas went to Washington High School in Tuskegee, Alabama, later became a star, I believe, Alabama State, and then played receiver in the NFL. Always kept in touch with the woman who is Marquez Daniel's mother. They were always good buddies. And when it became time to recruit this guy, Florida had the end. Florida had the opening. And I'm not sure that this commitment ever happens. Now, he says he always liked Florida, all that stuff. But having that connection, how big was it, Blake, for Florida to have Lucas, Chad Lucas, in so good with this family, even in this NIL era?
I think it's huge. I think that yes, there are plenty of other reasons why Marquez Daniel likes Florida. There's he's visited a ton. He's seen everything. There's relationships there with other people in the staff. But I think that the thing that a lot of people don't maybe talk about whenever you do land a commitment or as the recruiting process is going on is you have to start from somewhere. Someone has to be that initial branch that's reached out. And I think that Chad Lucas, just having those relationships through the family, through the hometown, knowing all these people that are around you and your support system, I think is huge. And that sort of, he was sort of the bridge that eventually brought Marquez Daniel to, the Billy Napiers and the Billy Gonzalez's. And that sometimes takes some time. We've seen Florida, even in the 26 class earlier this year at Under Armour, any of those guys that were 2B seniors in that 26 class are like, I hear from Florida a good bit, but not a lot. Florida really does. They take their time. sort of moving into the, you know, there's top targets that are talked to, but overall they do move a little slower. So I think having someone in that off field staff like Chad Lucas was imperative, just having those relationships and being able to, you know, be the contact point, be the one that's there, that's talking to him, building that relationship, and then eventually be able to rope in Billy Napier and Billy Gonzalez in there. And I think that after that, it was just, you already had your claws dug enough in there to where it felt like, you know, even though Auburn's like 20, 25 minutes away from him, that Florida already had enough dug in there to where it was going to be tough for anyone to pull him away.
All right, just a couple more things with Blake. One of Florida's commitments is three-star defensive lineman. I think you correct me if I'm wrong, Blake. I think he's probably a nose tackle. Jameer Perez out of Cleveland, Ohio, Glenville High School, I want to say. Committed to Florida after visiting there this summer, said, you know, told people I'm done with visits, showed up at Ohio State last week at, I think, a team camp earlier in the week, but then officially visited the Buckeyes over the weekend with his teammate, a linebacker, four-star linebacker, Sincere Johnson. Sincere Johnson committed to Ohio. I hope I'm getting all these names right. Committed to Ohio State yesterday. Where do things stand with Jameer Perez? It seems like Florida's got something to worry about here.
It does. I would say so. I mean, in-state guy there with Ohio, from right there. His teammates now committed. There are a lot of things that, you know, if this was a guy that Florida was targeting, and I'm saying like, oh yeah, he's an in-state guy, his teammates committed, everyone on there would be like, okay, Florida's got a shot. So, well, on the flip side, we're talking about Ohio State, who's trying to flip Jameer Perez from Florida. I think that it's sort of trending that way to where I think that eventually, more of the timeline, I guess, is where I'm kind of waiting and see, just because there's really no true timeline. Like you said, it could happen at any point, and any point could be in the next 15 minutes or it could be sometime in the fall. There's really no telling there, but I would say that this is trending right now towards, I think that he's going to end up flipping to Ohio State. I just think there's just too much pull there. The fact that he's turned around there after, oh, I'm shutting it down, not taking any visits, which is not surprising when a kid does, but just the frequency of how many times he was there in Columbus, visiting Ohio State. He's got a teammate there. I think that with Florida, you've got a dead period that starts in all of July, most of August, and that basically opens up whenever the season starts. So he's not expected. Jameer Perez is not expected that I know of right now in Gainesville this weekend. So that's tough that Ohio State gets two visits going into a dead period that's going to be a couple months, to where this could be a guy that is potentially not in Gainesville until sometime in late August or September.
I've got one more question and Zach wants to finish up with some, but you know, I would actually also point out this before I get to my last question, that it last cycle, everybody thought Jeremiah McLeod was going to flip from Florida to Georgia. He was in Lee County, Georgia. Man, that is dog country. Albany, or Albany, however they pronounce it in Georgia. That is dog country, right? And he did not flip, even though Georgia absolutely 100% unequivocally wanted him. Florida was able to keep him in the fold. So you never know. You never write anybody off. A guy could flip, and then maybe you win him back over in the fall too. So you just never know. Blake, this class that Florida's got right now, again, 13 commitments, number 12 class in the country. What do you personally like most about this class as somebody who not only follows recruiting, but follows the current Florida roster and their needs and all that stuff?
Well, I think for me, Carson Baker's addition into what Florida already has at the running back position, I love that fit. I love that what Florida's done so far at wide receiver, getting a guy like four-star Justin Williams out of Buchholz in Gainesville, sort of your gadget type of guy, like a Eugene Wilson or a Vernell Brown III type of player, to where he's a slot player. He's got the size there that you know, projects to a slot, but he's got the speed and the versatility. I mean, this was a guy that was a 1,000-yard receiver and a 1,000-yard rusher last year as a junior. And I think the rushing stats were, he started playing like running back after week 8. So that's pretty impressive there. Just a guy that you have that gadget piece there. And then you pair him with Marquez Daniel, who we talked about before, that has that size. Really like what Florida's done there. Offensive line, I know that, you know, it's loaded up with a lot of 3 stars, and fans are always like, oh, great, 3 stars. Like, good job, Blake. Now tell us about that. But I mean, these are guys that I think have the size, they have the wingspan, there's long, there's athleticism. So it's hard to rank and project what offensive linemen are going to do, because right now they're eating double cheeseburgers and like pizzas and all sorts of stuff. Whenever they get into a college strength program, then they start having things controlled. They're building the strength. So but there's a lot of to be determined there, but I like the fact that Florida already has 4 commitments on the offensive line when they needed 5 already going into the tail end of June. I think last cycle, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I felt felt like Florida was going with zero offensive linemen all the way till like October or November or something like that. So a lot of a different story this time. On defense, I think there's some pieces there. I think there's some areas where they still need to improve. I like Caden Hall at safety for Florida. I love CJ Bronaw with the speed. No linebackers committed, but there's some big fish on the line there for Florida. One defensive lineman, which I think is probably the biggest area Florida needs to focus on, Jameer Perez, who's already looking at Ohio State. There's some targets still on the board, but I think they're extremely important given Florida's need. Everyone needs defensive linemen in this class. Edge, I like what they've got with Jarelyn McCoy and his versatility. But again, you're losing Tyreek Sapt after this year. You're losing George Gums after this year. So Florida needs to replace those pieces with some more future pieces, someone that can step in and take that next step and build up the room. We see Jaden Woods, freshman at Florida, that Florida signed in the 25 cycle. The chatter in the spring was that he's going to be a guy. He's already getting some burn with the team, first team, second team type snaps in the spring. So you want to continue those types of players because Florida's going to have to throw some of these young guys into the fire this year. So you want to try to continue to build that depth up in there. But I really like a lot of those pieces at Florida. I think the offensive line, just the number of them, what Florida's got at running back and wide receiver stand out a lot to me. I think defense, there's still some meat left on the bones and they need to close.
And then, Blake, you mentioned that the dead period is coming up. Before the Gators do that, they're going to go out with a bang here. One final weekend with the grill and the Ville, and also having Friday Night Lights tonight, which you got a little bit of an update on how that event's going to take place. But just, you know, who are some of the big guys that are making their way to campus this weekend as before the Gators go into the dead period? Also, the staff gets a much needed vacation.
Yeah, so starting off of Friday Night Lights, last year we saw it was a 7-on-7 tournament where some of these high schools, they come in and they compete and they, you know, do all sorts of like pool play rounds until it goes into knockout games in the swamp. We're going back to your traditional type of prospect camp where they'll, I would assume, bounce between working out there in the IPF and then going and doing one-on-ones in the swamp, which is always cool. One-on-ones are always fun to watch. More now, the update is we're going back to where the things used to be. So, and then they'll have that on Friday, Grill in the Ville cookout, which a little different feel for that. And I say that because Florida's usually done the Grill in the Ville in that last weekend of July. Now the whole month of July is a dead period. So they've moved that up into that last weekend of June. So no official visitors that we know of right now in town for Florida. So the Grill in the Ville, because a lot of these 26 guys will be taking their, you know, last official visits to go into decision mode there in this last weekend of June. So Grill in the Ville is expected to be fairly heavy, if not very heavy, 27 underclassmen type of event. So now that coaches are able to communicate with these 27 guys, which I think is like the last week or two that's become a thing, it's going to be a chance for some of these guys to take not only their first visit to Florida, meet the coaching staff for the first time. And this is a staff that's just really able to like initiate contact with them. So it's a long list. We'll have more on Gators Online as we go through the weekend. But just some of the guys that jump out to me is anytime you have a 5-star on campus and it's a 5-star offensive tackle, that's a big one. 5-star offensive tackle Cooper Hackett out of Oklahoma. He goes to Fort Gibson High School. First visit to Florida that I know of. And again, 5-star offensive lineman is always going to be a big deal. I think the overall view of what we're looking at for guys that are there Friday and Saturday, it's pretty deep with the offensive linemen. So that's a big one there. And I think one of the more interesting ones that goes into this weekend, he actually does not have an offer from Florida, and that's 4-star Edge Santana Harvey out of Lakeland High School in the Lakeland area. It's a school that's done a lot of favors for Florida of sending some big time players there. And he's the son of former Florida defensive lineman Derek Harvey. So you've got some family ties there. And Santana, like, I went by Lakeland High School and talked to him and interviewed him. And I mean, he's a guy that's put together really well. He's long. He's built just like sort of like early stages of LJ McCray, just that long, you know, lean, but you could tell there's not a lot of fat on the frame type of body. So interesting player for sure. And then I think just looking through another guy that jumps out, and I say that just because he's visited a ton of times, is 27 4-star athlete Tremont Collins out of Cottondale High School there. In-state guy, offered sometime in the spring, I think around like March or April, and he's already been to campus, I want to say, like two or three times already. So this is his third or fourth campus visit. So projects as a wide receiver. He's a guy that Florida likes a lot. And so there's a lot of names on there, but just those are some that jump out. And I think Santana Harvey jumps out the most to me just because you've got one of those guys that looks the part. He's got the family ties to Florida. Will he get offered this weekend, I think, is the big question for me.
All right. I think that is it. Blake, you are off the hook, man. Great job as usual. Make sure you follow Blake's work this weekend. Well, really every day, every weekend. I mean, what Blake and Corey and well, really we're proud of the work Gators Online as a whole did the last several weeks during official visit.
Unbelievable,
official
man.
Visits, yeah. The in real time threads, people were just salivating over that stuff. The amount of intel and information they got. And Blake was really at the forefront of that with Corey Bender. So Blake,
they got a bunch of commits too. That helped.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Blake got it. Blake got it done. Blake got it. Well, Blake got that done. You know, he taught,
he created all the juice. He got the guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, make sure you hit the like button, the subscribe button, follow Blake on Twitter, but really follow all his work at GatorsOnline.com. And I'm going to be helping Blake out this weekend up in Gainesville. So Blake, take care, man. I'll see you up in Hogtown later today.
See you then.
All right.
Take care, Blake.
Yeah, great stuff from Blake Alderman. And I wanted to mention one more thing before we jump on, Zach. That Justin Williams recruit that Florida got a commitment from, the four-star receiver from Buholz. Yeah. I talked to Gator great Lee McGriff, you know, All-American receiver in the early 70s or mid-70s for the Gators. Later coached with the Gators. Later was in the broadcast booth with Mick for many years. So he kind of knows his stuff. His grandson, Keel McGriff, son of Gator great Travis McGriff, plays receiver with Justin Williams at Buholz. Okay. So Lee is at every game, and he's actually been watching Justin Williams since he was 8 or 9 years old. He called him said he's never seen a high school player better than this guy at this level. He's not saying he's going to be better than, he doesn't know. We can't predict that. But in terms of productivity, the guy had 2,500 yards of offense rushing.
Unbelievable.
Interesting thing about Justin Williams, though, you can line him up, Zach, at receiver and have no backs in the backfield and move him to running back, right?
A la Percy Harvin.
Or the opposite. I mean, he is so talented, and he can do so many things. I love that pickup. I think that is the single underrated pickup for Florida so far. And yes, I'm a Buholz Bobcat. Yeah, I know. But I love it. Just to hear it from Lee McGriff, though, that kind of makes you think, okay, maybe these guys at Florida know what they're talking about.
Their he absolutely, you know what I mean? Blew up as a recruit too. I mean, he got so many offers. Yeah. It was not a cakewalk for Florida.
He did. All right. Before we move on, we want to read an ad here, I think.
Let's do that. Absolutely. Give a shout out to the folks over at Roback.com. And there's only one way to describe Roback. That's the best fit and best feel. For those who aren't familiar, they're completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released several items with their newly licensed game day collection, and it's fantastic. Novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs for some of your favorite schools, including the Florida Gators. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Use the code GATORS20 on Roback.com for a generous 20% off all new customers. That's spelled Roback.com. 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with the code GATORS20.
All right, Zach, as we mentioned earlier in the show, basketball is now, again, it's been a while, but it is year-round now. We're going to talk about year-round because you guys want to listen to it. You guys want us to talk about it. And you had a chance to go over to the basketball facility in Gainesville this week and catch up with Todd Golden, who, I've seen him interact with you. He loves you. You got to hang out with Boogie Flan, Florida's transfer point guard from Arkansas. You got to hang out with Xavier Lee, Florida's transfer point guard from Princeton. I love this. The possibilities with these guys.
It's exciting.
Both can play point guard. Both can play off guard. They're incredible distributors. I mean, when you have them on the court at the same time, these are guys that know how to find guys, right? So
yeah.
Vision, you watch Xavier Lee's film, and I know you have. Man, the vision in this dude is just – it's like – I mean, maybe this is a stretch. I don't know. It's almost white chocolate-ish, the vision at the college level, what he sees. But, okay, so you spent some time with these guys. Before we get into the nitty-gritty here, what were some of your takeaways just from a personality standpoint? What did you think of the two dudes?
Yeah. Well, first of all – shout out to Denver Parler, Florida's basketball director of communications, for creating all this availability in the offseason, the dog days of summer. And they've had, media availabilities in the past during the summer, but, they've really made Todd and players available, since they kind of got done making their 2025 title celebrations. So it's been great to be back at the facility to hear from Todd twice now, since the season and everything ended. And then we got to meet with him on Tuesday, which was the first day that the team actually had a workout together in a basketball setting. You know, you could call it a practice, but it wasn't a full-on practice. But it was important because we got to hear from him really after getting his first glimpse of his 2025-2026 team. Some guys not there, a couple bigs that are playing overseas right now with their international teams, but the starters and the top players in the rotation were all on campus, all going through this first team workout. And it was exciting for Boogie and Xavier to kind of play with their new teammates for the first time, kind of see how everything gels, see what the offense is like. They both really are happy with their decisions. It hasn't taken them much time, it seems like, to kind of fit in with their new roster. Golden did talk about how he felt like their personalities would mesh in well with the culture that he's kind of created within this basketball program. Now with Xavier, obviously it helps. He's got that connection and history and relationship with Thomas Houck. So I think naturally, he's kind of got somebody to lean on coming in. But Boogie Flan, I asked him about his new teammates and he said, "Hey man, these guys are characters. I love my group." He said that Cooper is the funniest player on the team, and which didn't take him long to identify. But it was great to hear from him, like you said, Keith, because we'll get into the basketball and some of the things that went to their decision. But these are two guys that it seems like are going to have a seamless transition transferring into Florida. And that is something that was really important to Todd and is always important to him and his staff. When you talk about bringing in transfers and guys from the portal, they don't want to disrupt the chemistry and the culture that they have. And obviously it's a championship culture. So they were very selective. And as Todd said, intentional about the guys that they brought into that locker room. And they really feel like Boogie and Xavier are going to mesh well with this group.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. So a few weeks ago, I talked to Seth Greenberg, the former college coach who works at ESPN. And I said, what kind of transition period do you think it's going to be for Xavier Lee coming from the Ivy League to Florida playing in the SEC? And I'm thinking, come on, man, Ivy League to Florida, man, there's some good players there, but it's going to be a major transition. And he's like, "Keith, do you know anything about the Ivy League?" It's kind of what he was saying. He didn't say that directly. He said, "Listen, they play Friday, Saturday games. These are tough kids. It's a well-coached league. It's a defensive league. And don't underestimate the Ivy Leagues." And he said, "By the way, I coached at Columbia." Well, you know who else coached at Columbia and knows what kind of toughness kids in the Ivy Leagues had? A guy named Todd Golden, right? Yep. So it's no surprise that they were able to link up here. So he thinks the transition is going to be a lot smoother than people think. That's Seth Greenberg for Xavier Lee. You talked to Xavier Lee this week, and he told you that he's really ready to challenge himself against SEC-level competition. So what all did he tell you, and what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he kind of brought that up unprompted. He was kind of led into the comment that he made, but he still said, "Hey, he's heard some of that commentary, Keith, and people questioning how is his game gonna transition to the SEC," and that's what he said. He said, "I see a lot of people talking about how's he going to do against better competition, but for me, I look at it like I'm getting to play with a lot more talented, athletic guys." Basically, he's saying that his surrounding cast is going to be much better than what he had at Princeton, although he said that they were a great program. He's excited to challenge himself, as you said, and play with a lot of guys who have the same aspirations as he does. And he mentioned that he went through the pre-draft process last year. So he got to play with guys, from the high major level. He's used to being in this type of competitive environment. I watched a video personally on YouTube of him having a kind of an off season, running some games with Jeremy Lin and some other NBA basketball players. So he's a guy that has been exposed to more than just the Ivy League. And then even in the Ivy League, he has faced some teams such as Rutgers and had some really impressive performances. So, Boogie said when we met with him on Tuesday that he feels like you know, a lot of people are underestimating him because he's coming from the Ivy League. But from what he's seen, Boogie Flynn, who played obviously at Arkansas as a freshman last year and was a standout, he feels like Xavien Lee can definitely hold his own in this league. And Todd Golden said the same.
You know, they don't give – and I saw that NIL deal that Xavien Lee got a few weeks ago, that shoe deal.
Oh, man.
They're not generally giving those kinds of deals to stiffs, last time I checked, right?
No.
They see something. And if you're in that line of work, you that's a bit, you know, you're trying to gauge the risk, right? And they clearly see something in him to give him that deal. So I thought that was interesting, too. That says a lot. Boogie Flynn, the transfer from Arkansas, was a five-star recruit out, I believe, New York. Had a solid freshman season. Suffered some injuries and that slowed him a little bit. I think he played
against Florida.
Yeah, 21 games he played, 18 starts, put up good numbers. Shooting percentage wasn't that high, but, you know, again, I talked to Seth Greenberg. I talked to Jimmy Dykes of ESPN. They didn't seem too concerned about that. They think he's an outstanding player, an outstanding fit in Todd Golden's system. And, Zach, I don't know if you remember, but the day On3 reported, I think it was – it might have been you or Joe Tipton. I don't remember. If it's your scoop, forgive me. The Desmond Claude, the Southern Cal transfer, who everybody thought was going to Florida, was not going to go to Florida. Joe Tipton of On3 wrote in our message board to our subscribers who got it first. He said, I'd keep an eye on Boogie Flynn. He wasn't even on my radar at that point. Now, he probably was on yours, Zach, because you follow basketball more closely than I do. But Florida ended up getting this done, and you've got a great story this week about sort of how – I almost called it. I almost said how Billy Donovan got it done. How Todd Golden got it done, though. And it was a private meeting with Todd Golden that really blew Boogie Flynn away. Can you put us in that meeting and kind of what was said to Boogie and what won him over?
Yeah, I'm still just fascinated with how that all came together. I wrote about it at Gators Online even before the story this week. And if you haven't checked out that story, make sure you do. The title of it is Inside Florida's Bold Recruiting Move That Paid Off with Boogie Flynn, because this could have gone some different directions in terms of Florida trying to add, you know, one more perimeter player to their team. You know, they got Xavien Lee committed first. They got A.J. Brown. Those are two top 100 guys. But they knew that they needed a third and impactful transfer in their backcourt, and they had some options. You know, I don't want to go too much into that initial story. I want to encourage folks to go read that at Gators Online. But this past week, I kind of wrote, you know, a follow up to that, which was after Florida decided to move on from Desmond Claude, which that first story I wrote kind of digs into. Todd moved quickly. I mean, the day that happened, the day that Joe Tipton reported that, like you mentioned, Keith, Todd Golden was on a flight to New York that same day to go have a private meeting with Boogie Flynn. So wasted absolutely no time in moving on from one target to the next. And it was a chess move by Todd. Make no mistake about it. This was not a guarantee whatsoever. And we learned that from speaking to Boogie. Boogie basically said that, hey, I wasn't trying to take this meeting. Like, almost like he wasn't looking forward to sitting down with Todd, only because he was so focused on the NBA draft process. He'd put in all this work. In his mind, he probably went into it thinking that he was going to earn a first-round projection, which was what he was getting prior to his thumb injury during SEC play. And I've said this, and I asked Todd this, you know, if he doesn't get hurt and have thumb surgery and you know, miss that time and have to come back off an injury, he's probably turning pro. He's probably getting his name called next week. But that didn't happen. And I think as he went through the draft process and got the feedback, the thought of coming to college, I think maybe he was a little bit more open to, but it was really the private meeting that he had with Todd Golden in New York. He said that was really kind of what made his decision to decide to pull out of the draft and come to Florida. Because a week after that private meeting, Boogie withdrew from the NBA draft. He set up his official visit to Florida, which we first reported at Gators Online, and then the rest is history. But he said that his sit down with Todd, just his whole presentation that he gave to Boogie, the vibe that he gave, you know, making him feel like he was going to get taken care of. And he was asked specifically, what is it about Todd that you are drawn to and like? And Boogie said he understands. And I feel like when someone understands you, you know that you're heard, and it goes both ways. So clearly that sit down that they had in New York was kind of a turning point in Boogie's career, really, when you think about it, Keith.
There are so many, to me, so many similarities between the young Billy Donovan and the young Todd Golden. And I would say that Todd Golden is just, man, they're always four steps ahead, thinking four steps ahead. I would say the one difference is that Todd's more personable, quite frankly. I mean, that's, but I mean, just these, I started thinking about this the other day, the one brilliant move after the other for Todd Golden. Ruben Chinleyu averaged 5 points a game at Washington State, right? Would you think that this guy would be this huge, impactful guy on a national championship team? Thomas Houck was a three-star recruit, right, from up in Pennsylvania. Will Richard, where was he at? Belmont?
Yeah, Belmont.
Comes in and just gets solid from day one, but gets better and better and better and just becomes this invaluable asset on a national championship
team. I mean, they don't win that championship without him.
Alex Condon. I mean, it down the line – it's just been, and by the way, these are collective decisions. I'm not taking away from Carlin Hartman or any of that. Look, it's a great staff, believe me, okay? We know this. But he's at the head of it, and it's just been one. You take away any one of those decisions, and they don't probably win the national title last year. Just been one brilliant decision after the other, either an evaluation or now. First, it was the evaluation side. Zach, now they're beating other people. Now it's he's kind of getting who he wants. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was actually get back to Seth Greenberg.
I mean, again, not only getting who he wants, but the confidence to move on from a top 25, top 30 transfer and then go after a guy who's a top 10 transfer who might stay in the draft. If he pulls out, he might get offers from XYZ, and you might not even get him. And for Todd to be that confident that he was going to close the deal, which he did, is, I mean, kudos to him, man.
And then, obviously, the other part of the brilliance of him and his staff is that the roster build and being so complete. Boy, there's a lot of teams with good backcourts. Man, there's a lot of good teams with good frontcourts, good 3-4 combos, good 1-2 combos. They got everything. And now – I think they got two of everything going into this next season, if you really think about it, right? So, you know, it's funny about Xavier Lee, you know, people wondering if he can come from Princeton. And they had the same questions about, you know, how good is Jason Williams? He's coming from Marshall. I mean, you know, how good could this guy be? Well, sure, he only played a dozen games for Florida, but that was one hell of a dozen game stretch. And Todd and his staff have an eye for this stuff. Did you get to see those guys interact, Boogie and Xavier? Did they interact together a little bit?
We did not get to see them interact together.
Okay.
No.
Okay. What do you think of their personalities? Because that matters too. You were around the team a lot last year, Zach. You got you were in the locker room with these guys after the games. You're there at the finals, regional finals, sweet. So you were there from start to finish. Do you think these two guys, from talking to them, can you picture them? Do you visualize them fitting in well with the culture of Florida basketball?
Yeah, because I think that personality-wise, they really fit in with the roster and the culture that Todd has created. But you can also sense that competitive drive and fire that you need and that you also saw from guys like Walter Clayton and Elijah Martin, you know. Those guys were personalities too and fit in well with the locker room and were leaders. But then on the court, man, like the way those guys were locking during games, the emotionless expressions that we saw from Walter Clayton during games and just the fire from Elijah Martin, like you got to replace that. And you can tell that with Boogie coming from the Bronx, New York, man, a guy that's played at Rutgers Park, he's just cut from a different cloth. He's got an edge to him that I can't wait to see on the court. And, you know, with also I think that edge and that background that I think has kind of shaped the way that he plays, and the approach that he has. He also still is a guy that plays with some flair. He is got the nickname Boogie because he grew up liking to dance, and so his mom gave him that name. So he's got some personality to him, but he's just got this edge that, hey, maybe it's only something that people from New York have. But you could just sense that, and I like to see him light up when we talk to him, Keith, just about being from the Bronx and some of his upbringing and how that kind of shaped him. So I really like what he does. And then just to talk about Xavier real quick, I didn't mention this when I gave a shout out to Denver about all the media that we've been getting this summer for basketball. But Keith, there were probably you've been to basketball media in that facility. It's right next door to the Hugh Hathcock basketball complex. Keith, there were almost 20 reporters there. There may have been 20. Now that I think about it, it was one of the most packed media scrums that I've seen for men's basketball.
Yeah.
This was in mid June. This is this week. Now, obviously, I think more reporters came out because Boogie Flynn and Xavier Lee were also talking to reporters along with Todd Golden. But it was pretty packed at Todd's last media availability as well. So it is nice to see how much more coverage this program is getting, obviously deservedly so. But it has increased, and it is bigger than usual. And I tell you what, it's a lot bigger than what Xavier Lee is used to seeing at Princeton. And if you haven't seen this video, I put out a clip on YouTube on our Gators Online channel under the short section of Xavier against the full court press. It was a different kind of full court press. He was just bombarded with questions and was hit in all different directions. You know, it's kind of a free-for-all when we do media. So, you know, people are just, you know, blurting out questions. And it was wild to see him just – he'd never experienced anything like that. But the way that he handled it, too, was a good sport about it, was smiling. Like, it wasn't throwing him off. He wasn't getting flustered or annoyed. And then at one point, he was getting asked two questions at the same time. And he did the, you know, head. He was great about it, you know. And then the last time it happened, he got asked a question from the back. And it totally threw him off. And I told him, I said, hey, man, it's different here. And he kind of looked at me and goes, yeah, man, it's a lot of people here. So it was cool just to kind of see those guys in that setting, and eventually we're going to get to watch them, Keith, going through summer workouts and see how they are on the court. They really feel like they're going to play well together.
Yeah, it used to be a struggle to get media to cover Florida basketball, and I as you were talking about that, it reminded me, and I looked it up, of an old quote from Stormin' Norman Sloan, who had won a national title at NC State in 1974, came back to Florida for a second stint, and built the Florida program. The real foundation of what we see today started in the 80s under Norm Sloan. But they had maybe one guy. I think it was Bobby Tyler, maybe, of the Gainesville Sun. Like, one guy would show up at their press conferences. And he was asked one time, Norm Sloan, what would it take for Florida basketball to get more media coverage? And his answer was, you love this, Zach, a few timely funerals would be a great start. Okay, that was Norman Sloan for you, Mr. Nice Guy. He was fought tooth and nail to get that coverage. I'm sure he would be thrilled to see where it has gotten.
I mean, 20 reporters for a mid-June press conference, man.
Yeah. Well, and if I could say something, you know, we in our business sometimes we mention, you know, it's kind of a thing where reporters, you know, like to kind of, oh, we need more availability, we need more media access, and those poor sports information directors and communications directors catch the brunt of our anger sometimes. And I want to say Florida's guys, Denver, Matt,
Scott,
that just been there for us. And it means a lot to us because we can do our jobs better and we can tell the stories of Florida athletics better, which is better for everybody out there. But Zach, when I covered that Florida Auburn basketball game, which we'll get to this in a second, when Auburn was number one this past season, Florida went to Auburn and won, and you couldn't make it. And I said, oh, I'll go. Denver was right there to greet me. Whatever you need, let me know what you need today. I didn't really need much, thank God, even though I was lost. You know, I'm not as comfortable with basketball as you are. But the point was, he was offering the help. And I think that that really, he gets it, and the head coach and his staff get it. And when you get it and you win, you're going to reap the rewards. And they are getting covered nonstop right now. This is what you live for if you're in that basketball arena. It's been so hard. These guys have had to fight tooth and nail in the SEC for basketball to get this kind of attention. And I'm sure they don't take it for granted.
And to that point, real quick, sure. Keith, they're not just getting it from us. They're getting it from folks like That's getting right. invited to the ACC-SEC Challenge to go play at Duke.
Yeah.
Todd took that as a huge compliment, because that's saying you want us to represent the SEC against the best ACC team. And that's what you do when you start winning, man.
That's right. And that great segue, by the way. Thank you. Miami is now added to the schedule. That's the newest non-conference basketball game. And obviously that's not of the level of the game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, which I'm going to beg you to take me to. Again, I'll throw that out there. Madison Square Garden against UConn. Vegas against Arizona. My favorite childhood team growing up was the Bear Down Arizona Wildcats. And so it's a hell of a schedule. Now you're adding Miami, and I wanted to get your quick thoughts here, Zach, because former Florida guard Jai Lucas is now the head coach at Miami. Intriguing matchup. A lot of people think Miami has got some potential. They picked up some good recruits this last cycle. Just overall thoughts on the non-conference schedule. I know we touched on this last week, but it's one more really cool game that's added. They're going to play Miami in Jacksonville, which is great for us. What do you think of this schedule that they've put together?
Yeah, it's – well, first of all, I can't wait. It's going to be so awesome just to kind of see the start of this season, the teams that they're matched up against. This is kind of what you look forward to. And you know, we also learn Florida's SEC opponents, this week as well, which you'll get into. But just the non-conference, the way that we see it right now, and all the dates and stuff that have been reported – November 3rd is when they open against Arizona. They'll have their home opener November 6th against North Florida. They play Florida State on November 11th. November 16th, they'll take on Miami in Jacksonville. Then they have the Thanksgiving tournament in San Diego, which includes also Providence, TCU, and Wisconsin in that field. They play at Duke December 2nd, UConn December 9th. And they've also reportedly playing George Washington University on December 13th in the Orange Bowl Classic. So just an incredible slate of games. And we asked Todd about it this week, Keith, and he said, hey, he acknowledged, even though Florida went 13-0 in non-conference play last year, that was a knock against them, was that their non-conference schedule was not strong enough. He said people aren't going to say that this year. And again, he just takes it as a huge compliment that all of these different events and these ESPN back games wanted to have Florida playing on these big stages. You talked about, Keith, trying to get the men's basketball program to national relevance and everything that, first of all, Billy Donovan did to do it, and now everything Todd Golden has done to build it back up. You're seeing Florida – reap the rewards of that with some of these matchups and some of these marquee games that is just going to continue to put Florida on the big stage, continue to help them sell and recruiting and attracting guys to this program.
Any more ad reads before we go?
Yes, we do got one more ad read here with MyPerfectFranchise.net. Want to make sure that we give them a shout out. It's an important time. As you guys know, Florida just added another pledge to their transfer class this week. And you can help on those efforts with the baseball program at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy is a big baseball fan, and from his line of work, he's seen firsthand the fantastic traits that baseball players bring to the franchise world, and is offering a donation of $500 to $1,000 to Florida's Baseball NIL Collective. If anyone from our site at Gators Online purchases the franchise through MyPerfectFranchise.net. We think it's a cool opportunity to help the UF baseball program, and now is the perfect time to contact Andy. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help. If you have any questions about business ownership, head to MyPerfectFranchise.net to learn more, or call and text Andy anytime at 404-973-9600. 9901.
All right. Anything else? Or are you ready to wrap it up, my man?
We can wrap it up, but we obviously do want to mention two quick things real quick. Yeah. Some bad news and some good news. Well, bad news first. If you guys didn't see the report this week, Stephon Shivers, Florida's freshman defensive lineman, is no longer with the team. He's been removed from the roster. He was recently placed under house arrest for a third degree felony charge that he received, and don't know what's going to happen with that case moving forward in his situation. But at this time, he's no longer with the program. Certainly an unfortunate situation, and I just kind of hope that gets worked out, and he can kind of be able to move on and get a good landing spot. And then on a good front, Anthony Richardson, Florida's former quarterback, is back in Gainesville this week. He's hosting a free youth football camp on Saturday in Gainesville. It is free to ages 6 through 16. We've got a story at GatorsOnline.com if you want to go check that out and get some more details about that. If you want to take your kid to the camp. And also want to give a shout out to Anthony as well, Keith. He's having a reading event at the Boys and Girls Club in Gainesville today on Friday, and it's the event is called Read Like a Gator. So really cool of Anthony to come back and put time in the community like this. It's just awesome, And it's also, in addition to the camp, they're kind of going to have a clinic for parents where his mom is going to speak to a bunch of parents about, the struggles of trying to raise an athlete in sports and the things that you got to do to navigate that journey. So shout out to Anthony and his mom and his foundation for doing this. A lot of former athletes come back and do camps in their community. This is nothing new, but not everybody does it for free. And not that you have to do it for free, but not everybody does it for free. Anthony's doing it for free because he knows how hard it is for a lot of these kids to pay for camps. And I want to give him kudos to that.
Every kid at the camp's going to get a shirt and an autographed photo of Anthony. And Anthony is Gainesville.
Man, he is.
He is Gainesville. And even to further prove that point, even his agent is a Gainesville native. Derek Jackson, yeah. Former Gainesville High quarterback. So Anthony loves Gainesville. It'll be great to see him back in town. All right, great, Zach, great stuff. Great stuff from Blake Alderman.
Be
sure to hit the like and subscribe button down below and go to GatorsOnline.com for all your Gator needs. It's just filled with intel these days. So make sure you check out GatorsOnline.com. And we're going to have some big news coming in the next couple of weeks. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. All right, for Zach Albaverde and Blake Alderman, I am Keith Niebuhr. This is the Gators Online Show. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a fun and safe weekend.